Hey, Chris, can we bother you for a second?
Yeah, what's up?
All right, so for the I Said This, You Heard That study, what was one of your biggest takeaways, and how do you think it's helped you in your relationships?
From a takeaway standpoint, I think it was really beneficial for me to just understand myself and the way that I communicate with other people, and how oftentimes it's not the most beneficial way for them. And one of the biggest things that it's really gone into relationship-wise is with my daughters, even at the age of like two. I can see my daughter Collins' temperament already coming out and the ways that I need to speak to her so that she might listen a little better than a normal toddler might at times. And it's been just been super helpful because of that.
Hey, man, you got a second?
Yeah, sure, Drew. What's up?
I got a couple questions for you about the I Said This, You Heard That study we did.
Okay.
What was your biggest takeaway from that, and how do you feel like it impacted your relationships?
Okay. Well, I learned I'm a melancholic, so I'm a true introvert, and I really don't like to be filmed or recorded. But it also helped me to find my strengths and weaknesses so that I could just be more confident in who God has made me to be. And I can use that confidence to create deeper and more meaningful connections with others.
Hey, Drew, you got a second?
Yeah, what's up?
So the study we just did, I Said This, You Heard That. Mm-hmm. So what was your biggest takeaway from that study and why?
My biggest takeaway from the study was that it's a very, very practical study for me. It helped me learn how to interact with people and help me figure out how I'm wired and how other people are wired in certain aspects at work and at home. It was something I could use day to day on almost like a subconscious level that I understand where they're coming from and how where I'm coming from as well to interact with everybody.
Hey, Desiree, you got a second?
Well, I certainly do, Brad. How are you?
Good. I had a quick question about the I Said This, You Heard That study we just did. So what was your biggest takeaway?
I think the strongest part is understanding somebody else's temperament, their personalities. Literally, the I Said This, You Heard That is so significant just because we all tend to see it from our own perspective. And what this study does, it allows us to relate to one another by understanding if another person reacts a particular way, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad or good necessarily, but you understand it so much better. And I've grown a lot through that.
Hey, Bailey, you got a second?
Yeah, what's up?
On the I Said This, You Heard That study we just took,
mm-hmm.
What was your biggest takeaway from that and why?
So my biggest takeaway would be learning how the words that we choose can really have effect on different people based on like their temperament. For example, with like my fiance Ashley, I learned that I need to choose words that will help her and empower her more than what necessarily I want to hear or what I want her to tell me. So yeah.
Hey Brad, you got a second?
Yes, what's up?
On the I Said This, You Heard That study we just took, mm-hmm. What was your biggest takeaway from that and why?
Yeah, so I think for me, the biggest takeaway was understanding my temperament better and also understanding where other people are coming from, what their temperament is, and even what how they best hear and see things, see the world. And I think for me that personally, it's actually helped me in engaging with my son, who is definitely a yellow, I'm a red, and how do I interact with him better and shape and grow him while he needs it the most.
Man, how about that? Let's give it up for our staff team sharing a bit on this. Man, I tell you what, I am so excited about the next few weeks. And I know you're like, Kurt, you say that all the time. I really am, because as you heard, I mean, our team just went through this this series. And as we begin this series, People Skills, how do we kind of lead others and love others better? This is going to be a part of it. This is going to be kind of the small group series that syncs up with the next number of weeks. And I think we're going to be talking about things that all of us can relate to regardless regardless of where we are in the spiritual spectrum, where we find ourselves spiritually. And, you know, our team here at Crosspoint, I mean, when we went through this six-week experience, I mean, it just has really changed the way we see things. And we talked about this a few years ago here at Crosspoint, kind of dipped our toe in it a bit, but we're going to dive a bit deeper into this this week and next week and just try to create some of the transformation that perhaps we need in our relationships. So, man, so excited to see you guys here with us today. Those of you tuning in online, man, can we make some noise for those who are tuning online? Let's let them hear us here today. Man, so excited. Those of you that are live on YouTube right now, watching online, we're going to be exploring this whole idea of how our words give great creative power. And when you think about this, I mean, think about God, for instance. I mean, when he put the world into being, he spoke it into place, right? We just talk about this idea of things just happening. Well, God used words. In fact, he said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. And I don't know that you and I have that kind of power to just speak stuff into place like that, but we do have the ability through our words to bring joy or light or love or peace, or at the same time, our words can actually begin to create conflict. They can do things like speak division into situations and actually take away from people's value. And so whether you speak your words, or maybe for you, you email your words on a regular basis throughout the day. I know many of us, we text our words. If I'm honest, texting our words, as great as that is, this is where a lot of miscommunication takes place. Oftentimes, we get misunderstood. In fact, you maybe have seen some of these awkward texts. If you guys like ever researched these like awkward texts that get sent, maybe you have some. Here's a couple that I thought were kind of fascinating. One friend said, hey, dude, what's your street name? And his friend said, Little Marco. He said, you live on a street called Little Marco? He's like, oh, you meant my address. So I said this, you thought I meant that. Maybe you have a street name. This next one perhaps is one of the most awkward ones that I've read in a while. This is Jenny talking to the guy she's dating. I think we need to spend some time apart. Oh, nice, Jen, dumping me over text. Classy. I do not believe you're blankety blank classy. Whatever, I wanted to be done with you anyway. And then Jenny says, wow, I meant to write, spend time at Pat's, not apart, but this has been really, really enlightening. And now he's backpedaling, right? Because we say things and they're not always, you know, heard the way that we intend them or even miscommunicated. I had one with my assistant recently. We were talking about some payroll things with the payroll company we use, and she said, I do think there's an opinion where, or an option where we can run payroll online ourselves. I'm also not sure if that's the best option, and I don't think I have access to that. I said, I agree. I think there are just general breakdowns in the effing population today more and more. And I looked at him like, oh my gosh, that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say in the working population. Emoji, emoji, oh my gosh, what did I just do? And so, you know, perhaps you've had moments like this where you say certain things and yet it comes out or gets received differently. You know, George Bernard Shaw, he once said that the single biggest problem with communications is the illusion that it's taken place. And so I just think this series that we're going to be diving into beginning today, I think we're going to find that this is really, really helpful, especially as we dive into our topic today. I said this, you heard that. We've probably all had moments like that, right? I mean, moments where maybe you said to your partner, your spouse, about, you know, or your roommate about like cleaning the house, I said this, but they took it an entirely different way. Or perhaps you said to your 16-year-old something about curfew, and I said this, and yet they took it entirely different than what you intended it. In the workspaces, oftentimes, you know, maybe you lead a team and you have given directions on a project and you thought it was very, very clear, and then the team comes back and it's an entirely different result than what you expected. And you just kind of shake your head and you're like, what happened? And they're like, well, you know, you said this, but you know, this is how we understood it. And you're just like, I don't know. I don't know how to close the gap right there. Well, you know, I have many, many examples like this that I could share with you from my personal life, my professional life. Let me share one with you from my marriage. My wife and I, we're going to be married 26 years next month, right? Let's hear it for her. I mean, that's amazing for her to be able to do that with me. But you'd think after 26 years, we would have figured this out already, right? But there's a lot of moments where she'll say something and I'll hear something entirely different. So I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago, it was around Mother's Day. I said, hey, honey, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? And so she said something like, you know, I just like something fun with the kids, enjoyable, some quality time with them. And I know she's probably thinking, I mean, our days are crazy busy on Mother's Day. We have church, and then you know, we're wiped out. We go to lunch. We sleep most of the afternoon. I'm thinking she probably meant a nap, maybe a walk to the park, just some time together. I just remember thinking, man, that is not impactful. I mean, we need something. If we're going to do this, we're going to go big, or we're not going to do it at all. And so I said, well, what could we do that would be memorable? So, I was looking around. I thought, I mean, she loves photos. Photos are huge for her, always have been. She loves family portraits. So why don't we do a family portrait session on the afternoon of Mother's Day? And so I, schedule it right in the middle of the afternoon. It's the only time they had available, which, you know, when you got young kids, that's like right in the middle of nap time. And I'm just thinking, man, we're going to mark this moment. I want this to be a Mother's Day she will never forget. And let me assure you, she is not. Because every year since then, she brings up, remember when I just wanted something enjoyable? And we get to the portrait studio, kids are fighting and crying, and they're supposed to be down for their nap. And it was just a train wreck. It was an absolute train wreck. And she's frustrated because she felt like she wasn't heard. And I'm frustrated because I'm like, man, I did all this work to plan for this thing, and yet it didn't seem to land the way that I hoped it would. And yet, we got through it. We kind of did Mother's Day, but we kind of missed each other in the midst of that moment right there. And, she said one thing, I heard another thing, and if we're honest, neither of our emotional needs actually got met in that moment. And so, I don't know if that's ever happened to you before, but I think this is a part of our everyday life, where we say certain things, it gets misinterpreted a different way. And part of that is because, there's two elements to communication, right? There's two parts. I mean, it's not just expressing yourself and expressing your ideas, but, communication is first, conveying information. I mean, that's the first part. I have things I want to share with the people I love, people that I'm connecting with. And that's more than just your words, right? I mean, it's your expressions, it's your posture, it's concepts, emotions. But communication is also this element of hearing or receiving the information as well. And in that exchange is oftentimes where we are set up for all kinds of miscommunication. In fact, I've heard recently that 90% of problems in the workplace actually can be traced back to communication issues. 90% of marriage issues today can actually be traced back and be rooted in some kind of miscommunication. In fact, problems within the family system, whether it's between, a sister-in-law and a brother-in-law, or, two adult siblings, or a grown adult son and his adult mother. I mean, most of these can be traced back to communication issues. And let's be honest, I mean, miscommunication, I mean, it's created all kinds of problems in our world, right? And we've had world wars started because of miscommunication. We've had companies that have tanked. We've had, families that aren't talking. We've had marriages that have broken up, all because of miscommunication. And so I don't really probably have to convince us that this is somewhat of an issue. It's just something that I think is very real and present in our lives. So the Apostle Paul, he actually gives us a little tool that we can use, a little insight that just helps us really understand how to get better at this. Now, if you're new to Crosspoint, kind of new to church, let me explain the Apostle Paul. I try to explain Paul every time we talk about him because we love talking about him around here. He writes in the New Testament portion of the Bible. And if you're somebody who's kind of figuring out church, not sure what you think about Jesus, Paul's your guy. All right, Paul wasn't either. He wasn't originally a Christian or a Jesus follower, but over time, he began to see the real Jesus, had an encounter where he's like, oh my gosh, Jesus is entirely different than I ever expected, and he begins to lean in. And so perhaps as you explore and discover what Jesus is, you might find that same thing. And so Paul now, as he writes these parts, these letters that we find in the New Testament, he's trying to help new Christians understand God's best for their lives. And so we're going to look at one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible. And it's funny because it's on communication of all things. And so here's what the Apostle Paul says in his letter to these new Christians in Ephesus. It's a letter of Ephesians. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Now, when I was a kid, if you were to ask me, what is this verse? What is this verse about? I would have said, well, that's about not cussing. Don't use four-letter words and you'll be fine. And part of that is because that's kind of what was told to me. I mean, this verse is primarily about using words that we shouldn't use. And I had a moment in my Sunday school class as a kid. We used to do Sunday school as kids. How many of you used to do Sunday school? Any of you used to do Sunday school? Yeah, oh, wow, yeah, look at that. We don't do that here anymore. Some places do. It's like a religious education for children. And so we were reading out of Luke, the book of Luke, and it was, I believe, old King James Version, and we got to a place where it talked about Jesus as a bastard child. And our teacher was like, oh, boys and girls, we don't use that word. And as an 11-year-old, that was just an invitation, right? And so she's like, she started laying out, Ephesians 4, and I'm like, bastard. And she's like, you're out of here. I just told you not to use that word. And I got sent up to my dad, who was leading a Bible study, had to spend the rest of the evening embarrassed at the front of the room with him and a bunch of adults. Then I got another lecture on Ephesians chapter 4. The problem is that's not really what Paul's talking about right here. It's not really the heart of what he's talking about. He's talking about something way deeper than four letters, six letter words. And who decides those anyway? Have you ever wondered that? Who decides which letters go together and you're not supposed to say that word? I mean, I've just always wondered that. And of course, I have weird questions like that. But I mean, who decided that? Because I mean, there's a lot of words that are perfectly fine that totally destroy people. And we're okay using those, but these certain ones we're just not supposed to use. And so, Paul was getting to something way deeper. And it kind of makes me chuckle because my kids sometimes, they've started this thing a while back called backward cuss words, where they're like, hey, Dad, you going to take a tish? I'm like, well, I'm not even answering that. And that's kind of a slow burn for you right there. But the whole idea of what Paul's talking about here is this idea of unwholesome words. What are unwholesome words? Well, by definition, it's any word that makes someone less than whole, less than whole. And so the second part of the verse kind of informs us as to what Paul's talking about right here. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for, and what's the phrase right there? Building others up according to whose needs? Their needs. That it may benefit who? Not you. Not who got it off my chest, now I feel good. No, that it may benefit those who listen. And so what Paul's saying right here is communication is meant to actually benefit the other person. Any communication, word, thought, deed, expression, whatever it might be. If it doesn't build the other person up, if it's not something that's benefiting them, then it's if it's unwholesome, if it tears away from their wholeness, if it deteriorates their wholeness, and again, we all have moments where somebody's used words that have nothing to do with four-letter words or six-letter words that have totally destroyed us and as a person, and we feel like it's chipped away at our wholeness. And so today, I want us to dig in a bit to why is it that we use the words we use? Why is it that other people use the words that they use? And I think we're going to see that this is very helpful. And we find this in something called these four temperaments that we're going to find in the I Said This, You Heard That book study. This is a study by Kathleen Edelman. And she's a researcher. She's been researching this, doing counseling for years. And, this is the small group that's beginning. I really hope you'll jump into this, even grab a book this, as a part of your time here today. And we're gonna see why we communicate the way we communicate, but also what others need when we communicate. And let me just say, all of this, I think, has huge professional application. Meaning, I think you're gonna find that you're gonna go, oh my gosh, I think some people in my office might really benefit from this conversation. If you lead people, you might find that this is something you just want to do with your team. And if that's you, man, we would love to help you do that. We'd love to help you, help your team be better at understanding how to communicate based on the other people's needs on your team. And so maybe as a result of today, you're gonna say, yeah, I want to do that. I also think this has incredible personal application, meaning if you're married, if you're engaged, if you're dating, if you have kids, if you have parents, if you interact with friends, pretty much if you have relationships in your life, I think you're gonna find that this is gonna help us understand how to love one another better. And here's why, because I think this is a reality we all agree on. Words are very, very powerful, and yet they land differently for different people. And this is where your temperament comes into play. All right, because you hear certain things and you speak certain things, but other people don't necessarily hear the same thing when you use the same word. For example, when my wife Julie said, hey, I want something enjoyable. I want something, that's just kind of fun with my kids. I'm like, how can we make this big? How can we make it bold? She said nothing about those two words, but that's coming out of my temperament, not necessarily out of hers. Now, the other thing that's really important to understand is temperament is different than personality. All right, personality is kind of a snapshot of your behavior, your feelings, your emotions that are going on right now. And so that's kind of the what. The temperament is the why behind the what. So it's why you're feeling certain emotions. It's why you're kind of feeling certain things. And that's an important thing to understand the delineation between the two. So the easiest way to understand these is through these four colors. You've probably seen things with these four colors associated and even these words right here. And these words are nothing new. These words have been around for like thousands of years. In fact, there's a guy by the name of Hippocrates that developed these hundreds, thousands of years ago. And it's interesting because as he studied people, he found that people fell into each of these four buckets, if you will. And he really thought, if we want to dig a little deeper on this, he thought that the way they responded to things was based on bodily fluids. There were certain body fluids that were different in each person, and that's why they responded the way they responded. So these terms here are actually bodily fluid terms, all right? And then Kathleen Edelson, in her book and her research, she attaches colors to each of them, where sanguine is yellow, choleric is red, phlegmatic is green, and melancholy is blue. And so my hope is as we go through this that you go, okay, oh, this is I think my temperament right here. I think you're going to be able to begin to identify where you fall on this. Now, two things to understand as you look at this right here. First of all, the top two, the red and the yellow, these are extroverts. All right, how many extroverts in the room right here? Just out of curiosity. Yeah, it's a couple of you. All right, I see that. All right, and at home, how many extroverts? Just if you're with somebody, it's really important for them to know this. And then, you know, extroverts basically, they talk before they think. We've all been in meetings with them, right, where they just get it all out. And then they go back and like, well, I didn't mean everything I said. And then the bottom two, of course, this means those two are introverts. How many introverts? How many internal processors? Yeah, you aren't even raising your hands. You're like, the last thing I want to do as an introvert is raise my hand in a group of people, all right, a few of you. And so, you know, these are people whose emotions go inward, right? They go inward. And there's lots of ways to define introvert and extrovert. But an extrovert is somebody who forms their ideas out there. All right, and so extroverts say things that they don't even believe. They'll say things because they're processing out loud, and you go, well, you said that, and they're like, well, I don't even know that I believe that. I just said it, so it helped me think about what I was saying. Whereas an introvert won't speak the idea until it is fully baked. I mean, they're gonna fully bake it, they're gonna make sure it's wrapped and finished and looks good before they ever bring it out for you to see it. Now, another way to understand these colors is the blue and the red tend to be task-oriented. All right, these are people who put task over people, whereas the green and the yellow tend to put people over task. Now, again, important to remember because, you know, a phlegmatic is somebody who is an introvert, but they're very people-oriented, whereas a choleric is somebody who's an extrovert, but they're very task-oriented, put task over people. In fact, sometimes people are the task for cholerics. All right, and so, again, as you think about this, I hope you can kind of see where you might fall. And if you still need help, I want you to take a look at this little explanation on this video and see if you identify with one of the colors. Let's take a look. All right, how many of you identified what color you are? How many of you are able to say, yeah, I kind of know what color I am? Awesome. All right, so this is where it gets kind of fun. All right, and this is why, again, I hope you'll jump into a group because, or at least pick up the book because we're not going to be able to fully dive into all the dynamics of this, but a couple big ideas when it comes to temperament. Number one, your temperament determines the words that you speak. All right, and so again, if we think of Ephesians 4 where Paul's saying, hey, you know, use words that build others up, why do we use the words that we use? Well, it has to do with your temperament. It's because of the way you see life. And your color means you see life differently, meaning yellow speak words that are basically fun and people. Ooh, man, it's party. They're always fun to be around. All right, red is power and control. Green is calm and harmony. And then blue is perfection and order. And so these are the languages. These are kind of the core motivators of how you see the world. For example, yellow, my wife is yellow, and so she's animated, she's fun, she can't hardly enter a room quietly. She walks in, you know, she's there. We're laughing all the time. When she texts, she's like, that sounds fun. Lots and lots of emojis all the time. And so if that sounds like you, if this is like a backtrack for your life, then you're probably a yellow. Reds, I'm a red. Reds will often be bold, confident, use controlling words. When I think of red, I think of the old Saturday Night Live skit with Jimmy Fallon, like young Jimmy Fallon, called, his name was Nick Burns. You guys remember Nick Burns? Anybody remember Nick Burns, your company's computer guy? All right, he was red. He was like, move. Remember that? All right, if not, take a look.
All right, who's having a problem?
I can't open my phone.
All right, one at a time. My brain doesn't have a zip drive. What's your problem?
Well, I just, I can't, I'm trying to, I can't talk.
What, hurry up, my screensaver's about to kick in.
I'm doing the quarterly again, and I copied the spreadsheets into this new file, and this stupid computer just screwed up all my columns.
Oh, it's a computer that's stupid, not you, right? The computer's screwed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, okay, all right. I try to cut and paste it.
Cut and paste? Didn't I tell you these guys were stupid? go to your default font and change it to the spreadsheet font.
My spreadsheet has a font.
Move! Was that so hard?
I didn't know my spreadsheet had a font.
Obviously.
Move. That's red right there. In kind of an abrasive form, if I'm honest, right? But the blue guy's going, okay, what did I do wrong? Because see, blue on the other hand, they speak in detail and with judgment, like really being able to discern. They have thoughtful words. And so, you know, blues are like, hey, is this going to be safe? What's the safe thing to do? What's the backup to the backup right here? All right, and perhaps you had a mom. I mean, maybe you had a mom that was always like, hey, you're not going anywhere unless I know who's going to be there, and I need their phone number. And I need their parents' names, because they, you know, if I don't have a name list, you're not going. And you're like, my mom is like a helicopter mom. Perhaps, maybe, but maybe this is just her language right here. Maybe her language is safety and concern. And then greens, on the other hand, greens speak with easygoing, enthusiastic, unenthusiastic. I mean, no passion in their words, patient words. My son is a green. I mean, he'll be all the time be like, Dad, you need to bring it down. You're too loud. Everybody hears you. And so, you know, greens are kind of like, oh, it's no big deal. They're patient. They're great friends. I mean, you go out to dinner and it's like, hey, where do you want to go? And they're like, oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? And then you spend like 2 minutes. Well, I don't care. Where do you want to go? And just back and forth and back and forth. And finally, you're like, let's go to Ale for Wings. They're like, well, wings, man, I just had wings. And the red's going, my word, would somebody just make a decision? And the green's like, why are you yelling at me? And the blues are like, I just need my space. I'm going to do my Hello Fresh back here in the corner. All right. And so this is how all the temperaments kind of play out so fast as we interact with one another. And see, it's important to understand, why are we responding? Why is the other person responding the way they're responding? And the more we understand that, we can apply Ephesians 4 in terms of how to build in and build up. So your temperament, it determines the words you use. Second thing, your temperament determines the words that you hear and you need to hear. Now, this is so, so important. And if you don't hear anything else, the rest of our time together, I hope you hear this right here. All right, these are our core motivators right here. This speaks into our core needs that you've been longing to fill. You may not even know it. Maybe it's even subconsciously, that you've been longing to fill since you were born. And so let's take a look at some of these core needs for each of these colors for a moment. All right, so yellows, they need to hear approval, they need to hear acceptance, they need to hear that, you know, they're given attention, they need to feel affection. I mean, how many of you are yellows out there? Just out of curiosity, just raise your hands, nice and high. At home, raise your hand. If you're with somebody, raise your hand. Look around. If you're with somebody that's a yellow, pay attention. All right, take a screenshot, because this is the language you need to be speaking to them right here. This is like the key to speak and build into them right here. All right, if you're married or you lead somebody that's a yellow. All right, the Reds, here's what the Reds need to hear. They need to hear a sense of loyalty, a sense of control. They need to hear appreciation, credit for their work. I mean, this is like food and water for me right here. All right, I need to know that, hey, you've got my back. You're gonna stand up for me. I need to know that you appreciate what I'm doing. Any Reds in the room right now? Any Reds at home? Just raise your hands, look around, pay attention if you're with somebody that's a Red. Take a screenshot. This is how you can best communicate with us if we're Red. All right, this is how you connect with us. All right, how about Blue? Blue is safety, sensitivity, space, and silence. If you're in the room and you're Blue, just raise your hand. yeah, it's a couple. Most of them are at home right now. They're like, yeah, it's not real safe to be there yet. I think I'm going to pass. Those of you at home, raise your hand if you're Blues, just so whoever you're with can see. First of all, if you're Blue, well done on being here. Blues, if you're with a Blue, they like space. All right, Blues, remember when all the dots were on the ground back in the pandemic? You know, not here, but like everywhere. Blues would get very annoyed if you didn't stay on your dot. They're like, you know, you're invading my space. I need you on that dot because safety, security is a really big deal. And then the greens, they long for harmony, worthiness, lack of stress, and respect. How many greens do we have here? Oh, yeah, look at that. Lots of greens. All right, if you're with the green at home, and pay attention to this list right here. All right, this is the language that speaks to their hearts. It's crucial. And see, when you know these things, not only can you do better self-care, but at the same time, you are better able to speak into the temperament and lift up and build up the people in your life. Third big idea. Understanding the temperaments actually begins to change every conversation. And here's why this is important. You've heard this old adage before, right? Sticks and stones may break your bones, but what? Yeah, you learned that too, right? Words will never hurt you. What a lie, right? I mean, whoever taught us that, like that is the biggest lie I've ever heard. I mean, sticks and stones break your bones. Well, let's be honest, words can sting. Words can destroy. In fact, the words, think about this, the words on your tongue actually have the power to give life or bring death. And we're going to dig deeper into this next weekend. We're going to drill down on this a bit, how our words actually bring life or they begin to destroy. And the unique thing about our words is our words are a choice. All right, our words, I mean, when you speak, I mean, three things, I want you to think about this for a moment, three things you can put into practice right away when you walk out of here. You can do this tomorrow morning, you can do this later today. This is why this series is called People Skills. It's why it's a guide to leading and loving others better. All right, and so I'm gonna give you three things real quick you can just immediately begin to do. Number one is take a pause. All right, anytime you begin a conversation with somebody, just immediately go, all right, and in that pause, this could just shape and begin to change the conversation. Because as you inhale and exhale, just think about, okay, who am I talking to right here? All right, who am I speaking with, and what's their temperament? And this is very hard for verbal processors, just so you know, to pause before they start talking, all right? But just pause and prepare yourself and say, okay, who am I talking to? I'm talking to my wife. My wife is yellow. Okay, what things does she need to hear? Not just what do I need to get off my chest, but what things does she need to hear in this conversation? Okay, I'm talking to my son. Okay, he's green. What things does he need to hear from me? And then you use language that actually speaks to their temperament, which is the key to their heart. And simply hitting the pause button, I'm telling you, guys, especially ladies, really it's all of us, but guys, we don't always pay attention to these things. Hitting the pause button, it also does something else. It means you're sacrificing something in that moment. And what you're sacrificing is actually your temperament. You're sacrificing your right to kind of point out whatever's on your heart and to use the words that really speak to you in order to pay attention to them and meet them where their needs are. And then the second thing we can do that you can, again, walk away right away, you can do this later today, tomorrow, work tomorrow, you give grace. Give grace. See, understand that probably most people you interact with are gonna be of a different temperament, 75% of people. All right, I mean, there's no right temperament, there's no wrong temperament, there's no one that's better than the other, but you're wired to use words that you uniquely need to hear. All right, but I think this is so funny. Your Heavenly Father, He puts us in relationships, friendships. I think He laughs sometimes, like, yeah, I'm gonna put those two together and see if they can figure out how to get along. I think sometimes we get married. We marry people that are opposites oftentimes. I think God laughs. I think He'll say, oh my gosh, I'm gonna create some learnings for them right here. All right, again, I've been married for 25 years, almost 26 years, and you would think Julie and I would have this figured out, and we do better at it. I mean, we're certainly a lot better than we used to be, but you know, a few years ago when she said, you know, for Mother's Thursday, hey, you know, I said, what do you want to do? She said, something fun, enjoyable. You know what she really meant by that? You know what the interpretation of her words really were? Something fun and something enjoyable. That's what she meant right there. All right, but I interpret it through my lens and my temperament, and we missed. And so we give grace because people are different than us, and we recognize that. And then the third thing is we celebrate the difference. Some people are gonna be more talkative than you. Some people are gonna be quieter. Some people are gonna be more thoughtful. Some people are gonna be more intentional. Some people are gonna be more whimsical. All right, you meet them in that place and you celebrate that. A few years ago, when I first got introduced to this, and some of you have seen this because I was so excited about this, I showed this specifically to you. I'm going to show it to you again because I have not found a better case study, but I did a case study on some, my family at the time to say, is this really accurate? And so I was looking through our text strand, and I found this moment in one screen where pretty much all of our temperaments were displayed right there. You guys want to see it? I mean, it is so fascinating. All right. So now, as I show this to you, remember, my wife, Julie, is yellow. I have a daughter that's yellow, Maggie. My son, Matt, is green. Green is like, stay calm, don't get too passionate. My daughter, Macy, is blue, like I need space, I need quiet. My daughter, Meredith, the youngest, is red. She's kind of like me. She's like intentional, you know, kind of focuses on power. So here's what the text said. My yellow daughter, woo, it's fun. Everything's whimsical. Said, hey, hooray, it's iMessage's birthday. If you send this message to 12 people, you get 120 new emojis. We love emojis as yellows. This is, how kind is that? It works. And so my son, who is green, unpassionate, don't get too up or down, he's like, it's fake, stop. You're showing way too much energy about this. You shouldn't be doing that. My daughter, who needs space and silence, says, whoever let the dog out, let her back in, meaning she's outside barking. It's destroying my silence. She's invading my space. My wife, who's yellow, apologizes with her yellow, oops, with an emoji. And then my daughter, who's also yellow, laughs, ha, ha, ha. And so it was so cool that in this moment, you could see all of them except my daughter Meredith. I'm like, where's Meredith, my power, kind of real intentional focused child? She's like, yeah, there's no way I'm stepping into that. You guys are all over the board. Get it together, and then I'll start interacting with you. And so it's just crazy how you see these temperaments so clearly begin to come out. And then on the next screen, my wife just showed her yellow and like listed all these emojis and just like filled the screen, because that's what yellows do. And when you understand this, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so helpful. Now, as we wrap up, I want to circle back around to something Paul said in Ephesians 4. All right, he says, do not let unwholesome talk. This word let is really, really important right here. See, let tells us that your and my words are a choice. Let means that every word that comes out of my mouth, I let it out or I keep it in, right? I mean, all of my communication is a series of choices. Or to put it differently, every word that you use is a word that you choose. So if you use it, then that means you chose that, right? And I know. I talk to people all the time. They're like, well, that's just me. You're like Popeye. You're like, I am what I am, right? That's just me. You're going to have to deal with me. I needed to get that off my chest for you. I just felt like I really needed to, you know, unload that. Listen, that's for you. That's your temperament. That's your temperament. Let's not make excuses. If we really want to communicate well, we have to understand their temperament. Every word that you use is a word that you choose, which leads to the next word. Do not let any unwholesome talk. Any unwholesome talk, not some unwholesome talk. And again, this isn't talking about four-letter words, six-letter words. It's talking about words that make us less whole. Don't let any words come out that take away from our wholeness. So tomorrow, man, you can take this with you tomorrow. You can implement this tomorrow. As you're interacting with your team, as you're driving to and from work with someone, as you're getting in the car and going to Chick-fil-A or Chipotle, or, you know, you can color your words based on the words that the person you're with needs to hear. And you can celebrate the differences. I mean, if they're yellow, celebrate that. They're fun. They bring energy to the room. I mean, if they're red, celebrate the fact that they're decisive. Right, blues, you know, they're quiet, they need space. Our job is to pull them out because they've got thoughts, got a lot of good thinking that we need. And then of course greens, I mean, greens are everybody's best friend because they're so easy to get along with, but we color our words as we interact so that we can actually benefit those that we're interacting and communicating with. And I think this is at the heartbeat of what Jesus talked about, right? To love your neighbor as yourself, to love others, and actually love them enough to communicate in a way that builds them up the way we want to build up, be built up. And so let's talk about a couple next steps. My hope as we kind of kick this series off is that you might be sitting here or sitting at home tuning in going, okay, I want to purchase that workbook. So you can purchase this. We have them on site. You can go to any bookstore and buy them. We're giving them to you discount. We're actually losing money on these because we believe that much that we want to get them in your hands. So you got a discount if you buy them here. You can buy them through a QR code, but I just encourage you to buy the book and begin to dive into it. And then, you know, perhaps if you want to get maximum growth, jump into a small group. You hear us talk about small groups. We've got a number of groups that are going to be meeting specifically going through this series. Through this 6 weeks, I said this, you heard that. And our people skills series is kind of going to move to some other topics, but you're going to dig deeply into how do I better communicate. Now, you might be thinking, okay, you know, people in my office, the people I work with, they could so benefit from this. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, man, my marriage or my family would really benefit going through this together. I encourage you to do that. I said to my family the other night, I said, I think we all need to just have a group right here and go through this together because it's that beneficial. And so if you want to, you know, lead a group, whether it's in your team at work or your team at home or with a couple friends, man, let us know and we'll sync you up with a coach and we'll get you the tools you need to be able to have the discussions and work through this together. And then last, man, I just encourage you to color your words this week. Color your words with the other person's temperament. And when you do that, you're going to be on your way to leading others and loving others better. I guarantee you, you're going to be so much better. And that's what we're going to pick up next week. All right, let's go ahead and stand, and I want to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words from Paul. Man, this challenge, you know, to not let any unwholesome words, that our words would be words that create wholeness. And Father, I just pray that you help us to know what to do as a result of our time. Help us to even begin to better understand who we are and what our temperament is and what we need, the ways we need to be spoken to, but more importantly, how we can speak to others. And I just pray that as a result of our time, God, that as we go into this week, that we will begin to see people with their God colors, that we'll see that you created them uniquely, differently, and yet, even in our differences, God, we can actually learn how to communicate well, learn how to build one another up, learn how to build out the greatness in the people around us. And we believe that when we're doing that, we're actually doing some of the things that you call us to do. And we believe our lives are better, and we believe we're so much better at life. So just help us to be able to see that this week. God, I just pray your spirit would be on us and that we would create some kingdom moments this week and some powerful moments and that we would grow ultimately in our relationships. And we just pray these things according to your character, your name, Jesus. Amen.